Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankaravavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So reading from the Mahabharata. So previously then we had that the day, next day morning after the Swayamvar, then having heard the night before that Drishtadyumna, having gone out to check what was happening, you know, incognito, then he assured his father that he didn't have to worry. They sounded like they were warriors, how they were behaving, you know, just, and it wasn't, and they were, you know, high quality warriors. So then Drupad then wanted to know, you know, wanted to invite them, because naturally the wedding would take place at the palace, you know. And so then he sent a messenger, one of the Brahmins there, and then he was greeted by the Pandavas. They worshipped him nicely and all that. So Yudhishthira's first point was, is no need to ask, because a task was set, the task was accomplished, so that means then they get the girl. It wasn't based on only someone from this quality of family and this and that can participate, so therefore then amongst those then who can shoot the mark, then no, it's just whoever can shoot this mark, then they can marry Draupadi. And so then there's no question of asking. And then he said the next thing is that, but you don't have to worry. Your prestige of your dynasty and the prestige of your daughter haven't been lowered by this arrangement and that. And then just as that they were discussing with that Brahmin, then it said, as Yudhishthira spoke, another messenger arrived to tell him that a great feast had been prepared in the city. He asked the Pandavas to please come with him to the king's palace, where the wedding ceremony could be properly performed. Right, because otherwise in the hut there, not a whole lot of space and all that, and arrangements and that. So but at the palace they can make, you know, grand arrangements. Yudhishthira ascended, and the messenger showed the brothers to a couple of golden chariots that Drupad had sent. After placing Kunti and Draupadi on one of them, they mounted the other, and all of them left for Kampilya. The white steeds drawing the chariot soon brought them to Drupad's palace. As the Pandavas dismounted, the king's ministers greeted them and led them to the hall where the feast was waiting. Headed by Yudhishthira, the brothers entered the vast chamber. Costly rugs covered the floor, and many long tables lined the walls. Right, so they're coming into this large chamber. And so it has, how you say, long tables along all the walls. And then in the middle we'll have all the nice rugs and everything like that. So the idea being is that you walk in, and then you would naturally, since it's open, to go to the walls mean you make a choice to go to this wall or that wall, or not to go to any of the walls, right? On one table, the king had placed various items associated with Brahminical life, sacrificial paraphernalia, holy books, and garlands. On another were items by the Vaishya class, farming implements, ropes, seeds, and the like. Yet on another were weapons, armor, shields, rockets, and other instruments of war, as well as expensive clothes, gold ornaments, and other fine things of different types. Right? So everyone's watching. Because when you have these halls, you also have these balconies and that by which you can watch. Those are set up so that the members of the family that don't want to take part formally can just sit up there and watch everything. And so they can be up there and watch everything. So naturally, since they line the walls, you'd have to go from where you are all the way over to the side. So we're not talking about a little room or a hall. They're big. So that means they see the things in front, then they're going to see something and walk over. So it's not that it's all right here, so you kind of look around and touch this, that. You'd have to actually walk to one of them or to the other. So whichever catches your attention first. So it's kind of like when you have the child, the baby, and you put the money or you put the book with the Bhagavatam, then it's kind of like which one catches their attention. Everyone gazed at the, because they're still trying to figure out who they are, right? They don't know. Everyone gazed at the brothers as they strode into the hall. Seeing those powerful men clad in black deerskins, right? Because they're dressed as Brahmins, because Brahmins wear black deerskins. The Kshatriyas will wear spotted deerskins, and the Vaishyas will wear ram skins, right? You know, so all, you know, powerful, but at the same time, they're different. So the black buck is considered the they're an antelope. They're considered like the most auspicious in that. So the Brahmins wear that. So they're dressed as Brahmins. Each with the gait of a sportive lion, broad shoulders, long and well-muscled arms, resembling serpents, eyes like furious bulls. So these are all definitions of kings, right? Because the Kshatriyas won't have eyes like furious bulls, right? The very, if they look at you, it's very powerful. So they'll generally have more gentle eyes and things like that. So everything about it, sportive, how they walk, just that gait that they have, like the lion, how they walk, they're just so powerful. The king and his relatives, ministers, and attendants were gladdened, right? Because Drishtadyumna already said, no, he thinks they're Kshatriyas, you know, and that. And then how they come in, even though they're dressed as Brahmins, how they walk, you could just see how they carry themselves and what they look like, because they didn't really see all of them. They saw Arjuna and Bhima, but then Arjuna you could see nicely, but there mostly it's fight, but the others you didn't see. Without hesitation, the heroes in order of age fearlessly sat upon seats of gold furnished with silk and provided with footstools. At once, well-dressed servants and maids fetched many kinds of delicious food on gold and silver plates. The brothers dined with pleasure on the rich preparations brought before them, food worthy of kings. Right, so here, these are golden seats of gold furnished with silk and provided with footstools. So they're big. They're not little dinky things. You know, they're not just a little wooden plank that you go and sit on. Maybe it's fancy. It looks like korma about this big, you know. So, no, we're talking about these big that kings sit on. So they would have done that on purpose, brought out these seats that only that they would reserve for like really fancy kings and stuff. You know, somebody's, you know, like, you know, Bhishma is coming to visit them. They bring this seat out. So they brought out those five, had it all there. And you see, as fearlessly, they went and just sat on it. Brahman would go, you know, okay, what's happening here? Seats are there, but, you know, it's a palace, it's decorated like that. And immediately, they just see that there are five of them, they just go and sit. Then immediately they brought the feast, they eat, they dine, as if everything's just normal. So this is you understand? This is how they're checking. One is that they're feeding them nicely and everything. That's up, because now they're relatives. But at the same time, is you're seeing how they act. Because the Brahma would kind of just sit there on the side and, wow, this is so big. I don't need to sit here. I can sit on the floor. And, you know, because they just sit on the floor and eat. Yeah, gold and silver plates, you know, all this. They used a banana leaf or a lotus leaf like this. When the meal was over, they rose and went to the table containing the weapons and royal items. Right, so they had finished, washed their hands and everything like that. Then they went over. Weapons, they carefully examined all the pieces, discussing them among themselves. Right, so one, how they walked in, how they sat, how they ate, and now afterwards, then how they go and, you know, look at all these things. They carefully, to Drupad and his sons and counselors, it was obvious that the brothers belonged to the royal order. Because otherwise, who else but kings then behaves and acts in that particular way? Right? Because you're going to have Drishtadyumna is there, then you're going to have, what's his name? Shikhandi, yeah. Shikhandi is also a very powerful warrior. Drupad approached Yudhishthira and said, "Sir, are we to know you as Brahmins or Kshatriyas of the royal order? Are you Vaishyas or even Shudras? Perhaps you are celestials who have assumed the disguise of Brahmins and are wandering the earth." Right, so they'll go through the standard stuff. You know, you're Brahmins, Kshatriyas, maybe Vaishyas or Shudras. Or are you celestials, right, who have come as Brahmins? Because otherwise, why else would they be as Brahmins? People who look like Kshatriyas and to the degree and the valor and the refinement that they have, why would they be dressed as Brahmins? You know, so there must be some very far off story. Celestials do this kind of stuff all the time. They're always coming and coming in these kind of disguise, but why would they? Please truly tell us. Truth becomes monarchs even more than sacrifice or charity, right? So this is true. And he's then, you know, trying to bring out that aspect, you know, speaking on truth and that. And we can see how important it is when they all came home with Draupadi and the mother said, when Kunti then said, share the alms equally amongst you, then they were, that's the whole thing they were worried about was truth, right, you know. Once we have ascertained the order to which you belong, we can arrange an appropriate wedding ceremony. So this is another kind of trick. We want to arrange the ceremony and we want to do it, but we don't know what you belong, you know, what is your background, so we don't know exactly how to arrange the wedding. Because generally, you know, communally, there's some slight little differences on what they'll do and this and that, whether they come in riding on a horse and with a sword or whether they kick over a pot of rice or, you know, what is it? These little things that are arranged by the different groups. So they're saying, you know, they're still trying to, in other words, he's already directly asked, the minister already directly asked, and he says, you don't have to worry, you know, you set the task. It's not really your business to ask. Right? Because they at this point haven't decided whether, up to now, they're still remaining incognito. Yudhishthira looked at the king and smiled. He spoke in a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds. Yes. So you can see is that the whole time since the night before, they've been trying to figure out who they are. And Yudhishthira seeing this in other ways, and they're doing it in such a refined way, in such an intelligent way. Because otherwise, they would know what it is, you know, because otherwise, they're Brahmins. Why? It means, of course, they're respecting Brahmins and they're putting nice arrangements, but at the same time, is that then all the things around, you know, it becomes obvious. They're smart. Yudhishthira looked at the king and smiled. He spoke in a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds. O king, you may dispel your doubts and be cheerful. There's no doubt that your desire has been fulfilled. We five are royalty, the sons of illustrious Pandu, right? Because that's his worry, is that he's set this task to get Arjuna as the son-in-law. What if not? What if it's just some guy, you know? Because, I mean, technically, if Ekalavya had had his thumbs, he could have done it, you know? So, you know, he gets worried about that, you know? I am Yudhishthira. Your daughter was won by Arjuna, who, along with Bhima, fought with the other kings. Right, because they're wondering who's who, like that. She is like a lotus that has been transplanted from one clear lake to another, right? So coming from this high-grade family to another high-grade family. With Draupadi in the lady's chamber is Kunti, our mother. Right, because Kunti and that would have been gone, and they would have gone to the ladies' area because it's not formal there. Right, here it's all formal, everything, very things, and everyone comes out and all the etiquettes and all that. But the ladies don't really worry about those things. You know, if they're out in the pub, they do. But for relax, they go in, sit inside with the other ladies. They sit, they eat nicely, they talk like that. It's a more relaxed environment. So a different flavor, that's all. Yudhishthira folded his palms and said that he had told the king everything that needed to be told. Right. In other words, you know that. You don't need to ask more, you know, because next thing is, oh, how did you survive this, that? They don't want anybody to know all these things at this point. In other words, the idea is, you know, they're trying to keep it quiet at this point. Until this is arranged, they're married, then now they have an alliance, right? Because otherwise there's five people and the whole Kuru dynasty and their associates, you know, and allies. Though we did see that Arjuna and Bhima could easily take care. But at the same time, you don't want to unnecessarily fight. You know, just because you can win doesn't mean you should go through that trouble if it can be avoided. So here now, if they have Drupad as their ally, now Dhritarashtra, his sons, will be now more careful about how they deal. Surrounded by his brothers, he added, "You are a revered elder and superior. We now take shelter of you. Tell us what should be done," right? Because now he's now the father-in-law. So he asked, okay, so now what should we do? You know, we're here. What do you suggest? Tears flowed from Drupad's eyes. and he was unable to speak. He stood for some moments with all his limbs trembling. Right? Because this is what he hoped for. They're thinking this, but it's not confirmed. Because, like he said, they could just be anybody. Some other kings that are out, just somehow or another incognito, or they could be celestials. Okay, it's nice for their daughter. And it would be a wonderful thing and nice and everything's above board. But he actually wanted his daughter to marry Arjuna. Right? Finally, he managed with great effort to suppress his joy. He said, "I cannot express my happiness in words. Today my birth stands fulfilled and my dreams are realized. This is indeed an auspicious day. Tell me, how did you all escape from the fire at Varnavata?" Drupad and his two sons, Drishtadyumna and Shikhandi, listened as Yudhishthir narrated the story. When he had finished, they censured Duryodhana and his weak father. Drupad gave every assurance to Yudhishthir, vowing that he would somehow restore him to his rightful position as king in Hastinapur. He gave the brothers accommodation in his own palace and treated them with all respect. Right, so now he's like, they've heard how it all went and everything, and they, the Pandavas are there, Yudhishthir is known for truth, he's told a story, he's not going to make it up, it's not sensational or anything. The following day, Drupad again spoke to Yudhishthir. "O mighty armed one, today is a day marked by favorable stars. Let Arjuna take my daughter's hand with all due rites." Right, because they hold the ceremony, the Swayamvar, so it's naturally who wins, and then there's going to be a date after that that's good for the marriage. So here has been, there's the day of the Swayamvar, then the next day, and the day after that, then it's a good day for the marriage. Because you're always going to look at something there. Because when you're looking at auspicious things, if you're using the Panchanga system, then generally all auspicious things are done from the day after the Amavasya, or the dark moon, until the full moon. So within that, then you'll choose your time. So therefore, Panchang, so many things can be done in that time. If you're going more by the Muhurta aspect, then you're going to actually, you have to look at so many things, and basically there's very few times that are actually good. And so then the Panchang gives much more easily accessible, easily available. Then within that you can choose, okay, within this day, this time will be a nicer time, or like this. "Let Arjuna take my daughter's hand with all due rites." Yudhishthira replied, "My younger brother is to marry today. Then I shall also have to accept the bride, for that is the religious ordinance." Right? As we said, the elder brother has to marry first, then the next brother, like this. They can all get married at once, like you see Ram and his brothers. They all married at once. So Ram married Sita, and then Lakshmana married another sister, and the other two brothers, they also married, like this. Bharat and Shatrughna, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So they all married, but they're all sisters, like that. And so you can do that, but generally at the rites, if they're doing, he'll start that, and then the next one, then the next one. So they're doing it at one ceremony, but one after another, like this. Looks like maybe he locked the door. Yes. Don't want the door blowing open in the storm, no? Okay. Drupad nodded understandingly. "Then you must accept the hand of Draupadi in the sacred marriage ceremony, or give her to whichever your brothers as pleases you." Right? So he's saying, okay, then you marry, and then we'll work out for everybody else, whatever is there. But now Yudhishthir says, "The princess shall become the wife of us all. Our mother has ordered this. It was Dhananjaya who won your jewel of a daughter, but the rule amongst us is that we share equally any jewels we obtain." Right? So he has obtained the jewel, but everybody shares, because they go out, they beg, they bring everything together, and whatever it is, then that's shared. So it's not that, well, Bhima brought in this much, he gets that all. No, it's just you beg, because it's being done in that element of selflessness, and then it's shared appropriately, because the mother had said. Right? So, under authority. Therefore, Draupadi may accept each of us, one after another, according to age. Right? So Yudhishthira would marry her first, then Bhima, then Arjuna, then the twins. Right? So there's only Nakula, Sahadeva. Drupad stepped back, his eyes opening wide with surprise, right? So you can see the drama that's there. There's so much anxiety the night before, and then, okay, some relief, and then looking, no, it looks like they're Kshatriyas and all, then finding out that they're the Pandavas, and it was Arjuna who won, and then the ecstasy, and then, okay, then the religious point that Yudhishthira's making, that, okay, yes, no, we have to consider, you know, the hierarchy of the brothers, and then he says, no, we'll all marry her, and then, oh, my God, the shock that's there, the surprise, you know, so it's a real scene. This is Mahabharata, right? I have heard that a man may accept many wives, but never that a woman may accept more than one husband, right? Because many times the kings had many wives, especially the Kshatriyas, like that. Others may, Brahmins may, but generally didn't. Vaishyas may or not, the facility is not much. Vaishyas might if they're wealthy. The Kshatriyas is quite standard. You are famed for your virtue, Yudhishthira. How then can you approve an act so contrary to tradition and indeed scriptural injunction? Because right? the rule is, you know, this is the standard rule that's there. But he's also mentioning about the tradition, because the tradition is how it's been handed down, because Manu then will be tradition. You know, that's been taken based on the Veda, then how Swayambhuva and that, how they've given the knowledge, their understanding of it, the application, that becomes the smriti, or tradition. The king was surrounded by his sons and ministers, and they all listened carefully as the Pandava prince replied. He told them that morality was subtle and its application depended upon circumstances. One therefore had to follow the authorities. His mother had ordered them all to marry the princess, and that order had found acceptance in Yudhishthira's mind, which had never entertained thought of sin in his life. Right? So he never thinks of sin. So therefore, that his mother said it, and he thinks, okay, this is okay. Must be that scripturally it is okay. There must be some way that it is. Now, of course, in this, that they figured out doesn't mean that we do this. Because as we'll figure out, is their qualification is quite a lot different. One is we only see this happening generally with those from the higher planets and things like that. So, and it's a very ancient thing. So we hear of the Prachetas, this or that is there, and we hear of the Pandavas. I'm not sure if there's a third one, but generally, it will come. Okay, so there'll be. But it's very rare. So in other words, in 151 trillion years, there's three examples. So therefore, check that one off your list. Right? It's, you know, it's not supposed to be there, right? The prince was certain there would be no sin if Draupadi married all five brothers. Drupad was still not convinced. He wanted more time to think. He'll have to talk to his ministers, he'll have to talk to his wife, he'll have to talk to Draupadi. It was entirely unprecedented that a woman would marry many men at the same time. He asked Yudhishthira if they could discuss the matter further with Kunti, Drishtadyumna, and the learned Brahmins in his court. Yudhishthira agreed and sat in the king's council chamber for the discussion. Right? Because he's there, because he'll know the Shastra and everything. So if there's anything... Point is, it's not that they don't want to accommodate, it's just that they've never heard of it. It's not there. It's just not practice. It's not so, unless it can be established, because Kshatriyas, we always think of it against the power, as the control, and that means that's just used because that's the tool necessary for governance. Otherwise, if you're not powerful, no one cares like that. But then you see is that for them, it's they follow Shastra. So they follow the Brahmins, they follow Shastra. They protect the people. That's a Kshatriya. If it's just that they like to show power and fight and this and that, that's not a Kshatriya, that's a Shudra. Generally misunderstood, but that's the point. So it's not the fighting that makes them a Kshatriya. It's the character based on Shastra, following the Brahmins. That's what makes them Kshatriyas. They had only been speaking for a short time when the palace attendants announced Vyasadeva's arrival. Because like, that's very important, because he's the compiler of Shastra. And now if he points out how it's okay, then everyone's going to accept. Anyone else says, there might be doubts, but Vyasadeva, then yeah, you have to agree. As the sage was shown in, everyone present offered their respectful obeisances at his feet. Vyasadeva greeted them in return and offered blessings to Drupad and the Pandavas. After they had taken their seats, Drupad asked, "Illustrious one, is it possible for one woman to marry many men without being defiled by sin? Please tell me truly," right? Because that's his worry, is that, that's where his worry is, that, oh, his daughter is going to be, you know, the arrangement maybe not have been a great arrangement, you know, maybe her position has been reduced. Then he finds out it's not, so then he's very happy. Now he's worried about this. Vyasadeva replied that such a practice was certainly opposed to both the direction of the Vedas and tradition. Although practiced in former ages, it had long become obsolete. So the direction that the Vedas and the tradition give will be that it won't be this way. But we see that in the ancient times that sometimes it would be, because many times there were times in the Vedic eras before a law was established, it would be a generic kind of a rule or generic practice, and then things might go on, because the character of the people is so high, it didn't require many rules to regulate it. But with time, as the age goes and the character goes down, then you have to have rules to regulate. And so when you say ancient times, it doesn't just mean a long time, it means back when people had greater qualities than that, so that it might be that there's times, you know, like Satyuga and that, where certain laws aren't as important. But the people are of such character, they'll never do anything wrong. The sage looked at Drupad and Yudhishthir and asked both of them their opinions. Drupad revealed his doubts. He could not see any way by which the five brothers could all become Draupadi's husband. It would mean that the elder brother would be approaching his junior's wife. According to scripture, that would be the same as approaching his daughter, right? Because you have the brothers, and then the eldest brother, his wife, represents like the mother, and then the younger brother, then the elder brother is like the father. So the elder brother and the elder and his wife represent the mother and father to the younger. So that means then his wife would be, just as he's like son, they would be like daughter. So, you know, that's how the practice is working. According to scripture, that would be the same as approaching his daughter. Yudhishthira replied that his heart, which can never turn to sin, felt no misgivings about the proposed marriage. He cited a historical example of a Brahmin girl named Jatila who had married seven rishis at once. Okay, so there's others, so it's even more. There was also the case of the famous ascetics known as the Prachetas. They too, being brothers, had accepted one woman as their shared wife. These examples were found in the Vedas and were not considered sinful. In certain circumstances, even established rules may be broken in order to preserve a higher religious principle. So in here is because their mother had ordered it. That's the higher principle. The authority had ordered it. And here it's not just, okay, well, if my mother says it's all right, then I can do whatever I like. But this is a woman who has never told an untruth in her life. You know, from a high-grade family, all these things. So you have to put it all together. That's why in this, this is not an example for us. The point is that they're following authority. They're doing this. And he's presenting it to his father-in-law. He's not really, he wants to work it out. Vyasadeva's come. What does Vyasadeva say? So then you see this is the principle here. So it's the established rules means established practices. It has to have some aspect where the rule is there. It's based on something. So the Vedas, it'll never be, a rule is actually broken. It just means it's replaced by a different rule, like that. So in this circumstance, generally you'd apply this rule, but because of the circumstance or the personalities involved, you would look at it from a different angle. And so from that angle, it's all right. So it's not actually that rules are being broken. Kunti agreed with her son and asked the sage how she could be saved from untruth. Vyasadeva replied, "Gentle lady, you shall certainly be saved from sin. This is eternal virtue." Okay, so now Vyasadeva is going to explain everything, work out everything so that Kunti, that her declaration is made truthful. Yudhishthira's, his feeling of it is also satisfied. And Drupad and the others are satisfied. So that we'll discuss next time, because it's quite a pastime in itself. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.